think everybody likes a good story. You know, the best stories in book form or in movie form are ones that have a clear plot and a character you can relate to. For the story to connect, there needs to be conflict and then resolution. If you have a film without any conflict, it's not as impacting as one that has it. And then ultimately resolution. You find that person you relate to, and our hero overcomes his adversity. Our hero vanquishes her foe or whatever. And maybe there's even a surprise ending. You know, Hollywood makes a lot of films, and sometimes they'll do a test screening before an audience to get a reaction. And on more than one occasion, because of the negative reaction of the audience that screened it, they will rewrite the end of the film and reshoot it so it will have an ending that people will like. And someone pointed out in an article I wrote, things that are true in every movie. And as I read through this list, I thought, this is absolutely true. Things that are true in every movie. For instance, the ventilation system of any building is the perfect hiding place. No one will ever look for you there, right? And you can travel to any other part of the building without difficulty. I mean, how many films have you seen where the bad guys are coming and our hero is looking for a place to hide and the bad guys break in and the hero's gone? And they look around, they leave. He's always in the ventilation system, always looking down. They never think. So I just walk over, poof, poof, you know. That's not good to say that. I'm just in a movie way. You never think that. Okay, here's another thing that's true of every movie. When you're in a movie in France, if it's in Paris, every window has a view of the Eiffel Tower. No matter where you are in Paris, always a view of the Eiffel Tower. Here's another one. When anyone goes to the market in a movie and they're leaving with their grocery bag, there's always a loaf of French bread sticking out. Absolutely mandatory loaf of French bread. Next movie you see, when someone comes out of the market, you tell me if that's not true. That's movies. But then there's life. Psalm 90 verse 9 says, we spend our years as a tale that is already told. That's a biblical way of saying your life is like a book. Your life is like a movie. You may be at the beginning of your story. You may be at the middle of your story. You may be at the end of it, but it's all about you. You're the featured character. You're the star of the film, if you will. And in this story we are all living called life, there are unexpected twists and turns. So let's read together now. We're going to Matthew chapter 9, starting with verse 18. While he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live. So Jesus arose and followed him, as did his disciples, when suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I can touch his garment, I'll be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, he said to them, make room, for the girl is not dead. She's sleeping. They ridiculed him. But when the crowd was put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. 12 years. It's a very important number in this story. 12 years this woman had been in poor health. 12 years this young girl had lived on this earth. So the little girl had 12 years of relative happiness, and this sick woman had experienced 12 years of pain, rejection, and tears. But in the same afternoon, both of their lives were dramatically changed. One of these people was a wealthy leader, the ruler of the synagogue. His name was Jairus. His daughter suddenly fell ill, and he sought out Jesus to touch her, and he bowed before the Lord, pleading with Christ for his help. But while Jairus had Jesus in tow, and they were headed back to his home, an interruption takes place, and it's this woman who has her difficulties. You know, when time is of the essence, an interruption is unwelcome. But we need to understand that sometimes those interruptions are divine appointments. You When time is of the essence, an interruption is unwelcome. But we need to understand that sometimes those interruptions are divine appointments. So you're on your way somewhere. This is very important. I've got to get there. And there's an interruption. Why is this happening? Did you ever stop and think God was in it? Did you ever stop and think that he was wanting to do something for you or through you? You see, disappointment is his appointment. So we need to understand that God is sovereign, which means he's in control, and that he will guide the steps of the righteous man and the righteous woman. Here's Jairus. Okay, I've got Jesus. It's all good. We're going to get home. He's going to touch my daughter. And this woman interrupts and slows things down. And now these guys come to his house. Never mind, Jairus. Your daughter is dead. Don't bug Jesus anymore. And I love what Jesus did. He looked at Jairus. He said, don't be afraid. Only believe. That's awesome. Maybe you're in a situation right now. It's scary. Things are unhinged. Oh, Jesus says, hey, don't be afraid. Only believe. I'm here with you. You're not alone. And then Jairus patiently waits as the Lord deals with this woman. And it reminds us, as Scripture says, Psalm 48:1, that God is a very present help in times of trouble. He is there for you. And he is there to touch you. And he is there to provide for you. So what does Jairus do? He waits. He just waits. He's not going to interrupt. He's not going to say anything. And Jesus touches this woman. And then they get up and go on back to his house. Jairus was a patient man. Are you a patient person? Sometimes we grow impatient with the Lord. We'll say, Lord, when are you going to provide a husband or a wife for me? When are you going to open the door of ministry for me? Lord, how long are you going to let that person get away with that sin? Hey, Lord, when are you going to come back and judge this world that shakes its fist at you? And then sometimes we'll foolishly take things into our own hands and only make them worse. Listen, God does not ask for our understanding of his ways and timing. He asks for our trust. And from Jairus, he got it. What about you? God says in Isaiah 55, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As the heavens are high above the earth, so are my thoughts above your thoughts and my ways above your ways. But listen to this. His delays are not necessarily his denials. Let me say that again. His delays are not necessarily his denials. So maybe God will say no today. Maybe he'll say no tomorrow, but he's going to say yes on Thursday or the day following. So you just hang in there and be patient and wait on the Lord. So here they are, they're making their way along, and this woman appears, and she somehow reasons, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. Where did she get that from? Jesus never said that to her. I don't think anybody else did. She didn't even say, if he touches me, I'll be healed. She says, I don't even have to touch his hand or his face. If I just touch just the edge of that robe he wears. And by the way, the Jewish rabbis in that time would have a little bit of blue trim on the bottom of the robe. So she thought, if I can just touch the blue trim, I'll be healed. So Jesus is walking along and everyone's pushing and pulling and making a lot of noise and dust is everywhere. And he's kind of making his way through this crowd, you know, and all of a sudden he stops. He says, who touched me? Who touched him? Everyone touched him. Everyone. No, it's different. He says, I perceive the power has gone out of me. Who touched me? The crowd parts. There's this woman. Hi. Was that cool? Oh, Jesus didn't want to rebuke her. He wanted to commend her. Because this was amazing faith. What was her condition? Well, she had a problem where she bled constantly. Some kind of a hemorrhage. For 12 years, blood would not stay in her body. And the stigma and humiliation of such a thing was second only to leprosy. When a woman was in that time of the month, she was not allowed to go into the temple and worship because she was declared ceremonially unclean. But her problem is, oh, this was not that. This was another condition where she just couldn't keep blood in her body. And people would see her and say, whoa, you are not coming into the synagogue. You are unclean. Get out of here. We don't want your kind here. So this poor girl, she spent all of her money on doctors. She has nothing left. Her condition is getting worse. She doesn't even have the comfort of friends in the synagogue, which was not only the spiritual, but was also the social center of Israel. So she's just isolated. And she says, if I can touch Jesus, I know I will be healed. You know, sometimes people will say, I wish Jesus would touch me, but I don't feel his touch. Hey, be like this woman. Why don't you touch him? Don't just make it about him touching you. You reach out and touch him. Get through the crowd of unbelief and the busyness of our schedules and say, if I can just touch him, I know I will be healed, because he always has time for his children. So God changed her. Here's the thing I really love about this. In Mark's gospel, we read these words. The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, fell down before him, and she told him the whole truth. So Jesus says, who touched me? I did. And she told him the whole truth. Or another translation puts it this way. She gave him the whole story. I love that. That's why I give that title to my message, The Whole Story. She laid it out. Do you think Jesus was a good listener? Do you think Jesus was, you know, checking Instagram while she talked or texting a friend? John, remember to bring the fish. No, you know. I think Jesus was a very good listener. I think you had his full attention when you talked to him. And he took it all in because he cared about her. And he was moved. And then he said to her, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the Bible says she was made well from that hour. So she's gloriously healed. That's fantastic. Great outcome for her. Back to Jairus. He's watching this all happen. Okay, buddy, let's go to your house now. Come on. So Jesus and Jairus are walking, and then you hear that music. And back in those days in the first century, their funerals were big affairs, a lot of wailing and music. And so they come into this house. The daughter is dead. It's just such a bleak scenario. And Jesus makes this announcement. She's not dead. She's only sleeping. The so-called wailers, the mourners, turn on him and begin to ridicule him. And you know what he did? He said, all y'all get out of here. Get out of here. Every one of you. Take your crummy instruments with you too. Go. Why did he do that? Because when there is an environment of unbelief, that can really quench the Holy Spirit. In fact, we read Jesus could do no mighty work in his own town of Nazareth because of unbelief. See, unbelief is a thief. It often robs us of what God wants to do in our lives. So having cleared the riffraff out of the room, Jesus turns his attention to the young girl. By the way, she's already in glory. She's on the other side. And he says to her, little girl, arise. Or another translation, and I love this, little lamb. It's like a nickname, little lamb, arise. And her eyes begin to flutter, and she's looking at Jesus. See, when Jesus says, arise, you're coming, you're arising. I don't care where you are. You're Lazarus in the tomb 3 days. Lazarus, come forth. You're coming forth, man. And he brought this girl back. Can you imagine the joy in the heart of Jairus to see his daughter alive again? So there's a lot of truths we can learn from this story, and we're going to wrap it up now. Number one, if you have a need, reach out to Jesus. Do you have a need right now? Then reach out to Jesus. Listen to this. If that woman, and for that matter, Jairus, had not sought Jesus out, their problems most likely would have remained. It was because they sought him, humbling themselves and believing they were touched. Do you need his healing touch today? For you? Or for a loved one? Pray about it. And ask the Lord to intervene. Call out to him. God says in Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you. I'll show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Do you need help in a personal crisis? Reach out and touch him. Maybe it's not a child, but it's a marriage that's dying. Receive the power he will give to you. He'll restore it. Number two, your story is not finished yet. Maybe you're at the midway point, sort of like Job in his story or Joseph in his story. It's not making sense. Listen, your story is not finished yet. It's still unfolding. So you need to wait on the Lord. God always finishes what he begins. It started badly for Jairus and got even worse, but what appeared to be the worst day of his life ended up being the best day of his life. God can turn things around like that. So you're saying, oh, this is horrible. I think God's not even paying attention. No, he's paying attention. The story's unfolding. Watch the Lord work. Your story is still being told. And Jesus intervened and gave her and Jairus a happy ending. Also, number three, if we trust in Christ, our stories will all have happy endings. Your story is going to have a happy ending. Now, some of you are thinking, oh, Greg, you're wrong there. Because I know people that love Jesus, and their story didn't have a happy ending. They died of cancer, or they were killed in an automobile accident, or some other thing happened. Well, where was God then? Where's your happy ending now? I didn't say there would necessarily be a happy ending on earth, but I guarantee when you get to heaven, it will be a happy ending. You will live happily ever after. On earth, perhaps as well, but that's up to God. But until that day, we need to just trust him. Just as Job did not know his story, or Joseph did not know his story, I've never read the story of Greg. I'm in the story, but I don't know how it's going to end. But I know there's a script. I know there's a director. I know there's an author, and I know there is a finisher. And that's true of you too. So, would you come to Jesus right now? Maybe you're in need. You see, Jairus knew that death was drawing nearer and nearer to his daughter. He felt as though it could occur at any moment. So he sought out and found Jesus. That's true of you. Even if Jesus heals you, hate to break this to you, you'll still die. Jairus' daughter, I don't know how old she became, she died. The woman with the issue of blood, she died. Lazarus, who was raised from the dead, he died, because everyone dies. So until that day, I'm going to seek to glorify God with everything I say and do. And when that day comes, I'm ready. See, that's the way you live. Paul said, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Do you have that hope? Only the person who can say to live is Christ can then say to die is gain. Everybody else, they don't want to think about it. They don't want to talk about it. They won't even use the D word. Well, when they expired, well, they've passed on. You mean they died? Yeah. It's appointed unto a man once to die, and then comes the judgment. That's what the Bible says. But we as Christians, we have that covered, so we have hope. Now listen, do you have that hope? Because your life, it's passing. Your story is being told. I want your story to have a happy ending. And if you believe in Jesus, it will. And there might be some of you here who have never actually asked Jesus Christ to come into your life to be your personal Savior and Lord. And I want to give you an opportunity to do that as we close now. There might be some others who walk with the Lord at one time, but you've gone astray. You've made some bad decisions. You've reaped the consequences of those decisions. And it's time for you to recommit to him again. So we're going to close in prayer. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to have your sin forgiven and change your eternal address and have a happy ending ultimately. Or if you've fallen away, to get this sorted out today and recommit your life to Christ. Let's all pray. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to this earth and living that perfect life and then dying on the cross and rising again from the dead. Now we pray for those that are here, those that are watching, those that are listening. We pray that you will help them to see their need for you. We pray that your Holy Spirit will convict and convince them of their sin and bring them to yourself. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Amen. Listen, the most important decision that you will ever make is the decision about Jesus Christ. That is a choice that is before you right now. Listen to this. Jesus said, "You're either for me or against me." You know, when I heard that as a 17-year-old kid, I looked around at other people at this little meeting I went to, this little Bible study where a preacher said that, and I thought to myself, these other Christians listening to this, they're definitely for him. And then I thought, well, I'm not one of them. Does that mean I'm against them? Well, actually, I was. You can't be neutral about Jesus. This is a yes or no proposition. Jesus Christ came to this earth. He lived a perfect life. Then he voluntarily went to the cross and died in our place. Why did he do that? Because we're all sinners, and we have all fallen short of God's glory, and we have all broken God's commandments. But the good news is Christ died for our sins. He absorbed God's wrath. He paid the price for the wrongs we've done, and he rose again from the dead, and he's standing right now at the door of your life, and he is knocking. And he is saying, if you'll hear his voice and open the door, he'll come in. And you might be thinking, well, how do you open the door of your heart? You do it through prayer. And I'd like to lead you in a simple prayer where you would be asking God to forgive you, where you would be asking Jesus to come into your life. It's the most important choice you will ever make. And if you would like to choose Jesus Christ right now, if you would like to be forgiven of your sin and go to heaven when you die, why don't you just pray this prayer out loud even after me right now? Just pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, but you died on that cross for me because you love me. And then you rose again from the dead. I'm sorry for my sin. I turn from it now. I ask you to come into my life and be my Savior and Lord and be my God and my friend. I choose to follow you, Lord, from this moment forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Hey, listen, if you just prayed that prayer and meant it in your heart, Christ himself has come to live inside of you. You have made the right choice. Your choices on earth are binding in eternity. And because of that choice, if you now follow Jesus Christ, you can have the hope of one day seeing him in heaven. Thanks for tuning into our program. And until next time, God bless you.